Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
Merry Christmas, guys. Let me say it again. Merry Christmas. One of the occupational hazards of being a pastor is that every 7 days, Sunday comes back around, whether you're ready or not. And Christmas comes around every 365 days. And for those of you who are not aware, Christmas is about 13 hours away. It's right upon us, whether you're ready or not. And at Christmas, we often feel busy, and we feel like life is cluttered, and things are cluttered, and much like that bumper video that led into the sermon, everything feels cluttered and running together. We have parties and travel, we have gifts to buy, and family to see, and places to go, and obligations, and traditions, and duties, and observances. We have kids' school parties, and we have Christmas plays, and we have to cook food, and we have to travel, and we're fighting the crowds at North Park Mall. Am I right? In fact, I encourage you to go to North Park Mall today and try not to get frustrated at the traffic. Really, I encourage you today not to go to North Park Mall so that you can enjoy the holiday season. And if you end up going to North Park Mall, may God have mercy on your soul. And we have all of those things of the Christmas season on top of our already busy lives. But you know what? TV commercials are here to save us, right? They're here to save us because we start seeing the day before Thanksgiving a commercial of two people. One of the people was really, really dumb and got up early and spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on all this stuff. And the other who slept in late and spent $70,000 on a vehicle. Merry Christmas from the TV industry. And we feel like we don't have time for Christmas. Time is really the new currency. In fact, we may be frivolous with our money, but not with our time. Ben Franklin said it this way. He said, Benjamin Franklin, he said, "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff that life is made of." Time is the only commodity that we can't make more of. We can make more money, we can eat better and get more energy, but we cannot make more time because we'll only have 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, and 24 hours in a day. There's a story about a little boy who was waiting in line at a department store with his dad, and as they were in line about to check out, there's a toy on display. And the little boy looks at his father and he says, "Dad, can I have that toy?" And his dad says, "You know, it's the month of Christmas. You might want to ask Santa for that gift." And the little boy says, "I don't really want to wait, so I'll just ask Grandma." That we want it, and we want it now, and we feel rushed and frazzled, and we don't feel peace, and we run the risk of missing Christmas. But how do we reclaim Christmas? How do we reclaim what the Bible says is for us during the Christmas season? I want to read a Christmas story again, what we read just a little while ago. Let's read this again together in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. I want you to imagine how incredibly powerful this was. Pitch black, maybe a small fire burning. The shepherds weren't used to any digital light shows and anything dramatic, and suddenly an angel appears. Light, you know, shines around this angel, and it goes on, and it says that they were afraid. They were terrified. But an angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." Let me say that part again. Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. And I want to ask you, is that what you feel today? Peace? With last minute shopping and preparing for family today and tomorrow, is that what you feel in this moment? Peace? Or are we missing the peace that was promised at Christmas? And if we're missing that peace, how? How do we reclaim the Christmas peace that was promised at the coming of Christ? How do we grab back that peace that the busyness of the season has taken from us? If you'll stay with me for a few more minutes today, I want us to walk through 5 practical steps in order for us to reclaim the peace of God that was promised for us. And so, in fact, today, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. For us to reclaim that peace, that we have to say no to some good things in order to say yes to better things. In fact, it would be easy for us to fill every night of the holiday season with something. Our schedule could be completely full every night of the week. And I want to challenge you with this. It'll take some planning and it will take some scheduling, but I want to encourage you to schedule nothing for several evenings between now and New Year's. Nothing but time with the family. Not where everyone's separated, but where everyone is together, just hanging out in the house. Spend time with family. Spend time enjoying the season. Spend time in relaxing and resting and recuperating from the busyness that have probably consumed our lives to this point. Later in Luke, we see that Jesus took some time to show us to say no to some good things so he could say yes to better things. In Luke chapter 5, it says, "Yet news about Jesus spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him as he would teach and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." I want you to capture this, that people heard about Jesus and their hearts would burn within them, and then he would pray and they would be healed. And so people would come and he would pray and he would teach and he would pray for them and he would teach. And that at some point he finally would have to steal away to get quiet so that he could be calm and refreshed, and that he would also spend time with the Father, because those needs would never, ever fully stop. There would always be another need. And what we see is that for us, that we'll never be able to please everyone. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That whether it's gifts or families coming in or whether it is schedules, you can never please everyone ever. And you'll never be able to do everything. So like Jesus, take some downtime to say no to some good things that are okay so that later you can say yes to better things. But also, if we want to reclaim that peace, guys, we've got to let go of trying to have the perfect Christmas and the perfect family. We try and we try and we buy the perfect gifts, and we have to have the house looking like a Christmas card, and we don't want to make any member of the house unhappy, and so we cook, we clean, we host, we serve. 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 We rinse and repeat over and over. We cook, we clean, we host, we serve. Trying to have this perfect moment. And really, this desire and this drive isn't new to us. It isn't new to culturally to here. It is something that happened. It is a part of our who we are who we are. And it says that this happened in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, that Jesus was coming to the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha is wanting to have the storybook gathering of the family. She's wanting to have the dream scenario. And she's working and serving and getting everything ready and the hors d'oeuvres and everything in place. And then she gets mad because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. And she basically goes, Jesus, like, would you tell Mary to help me? I mean, just would you please? And Jesus looks at her and he says this. Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better and it won't be taken away from her. Mary was worried about everything being perfect, the perfect gathering, but Mary was worried about being with Jesus. This holiday season, let's be a little less like Martha trying to have the perfect moment and a little more like Mary spending time thanking Jesus for who he is. In fact, this holiday season, let's spend time thanking Jesus for Christmas, because when we do, when we spend time thanking him for Christmas, we begin to feel the peace of Christmas, because we're spending time with the giver of Christmas and we're beginning to see the purpose of Christmas, and everything changes in that moment. We're beginning to see Jesus and his love and his life that was given for us. So don't stress over this perfect Christmas, because when we do, we miss the purpose of Christmas, the birth of Christ. The love of God made manifest in the life of a human that is fully God, fully man. We miss the purpose of Christmas when we stress over the perfect gathering. But you know what? We also stress a lot about money during this season. In fact, that's the number two stressor during the holiday season. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to reclaim that peace, be very careful about your spending. Now, maybe we're too past that now for some of us, but maybe we can learn for next year, or maybe that you're not going to go out today and go over the top on those last minute gifts when you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Have you ever went to buy a gift for someone and you thought, what do they even really need? They've got everything that they need. Or have you ever had a gift bought for you and you re-gifted that gift? Have you ever bought a gift for someone else and then you saw them later re-gifting that gift? Or have you been given a gift and you re-gifted it accidentally to the person who gave it to you in the first place? Oh, bad news. Maybe, just maybe, we need to change the rules of giving just a bit. I want to encourage you to buy missional gifts as a part of your Christmas. What does it mean, missional gifts? Let me give you an example. A few years ago, my wife came to me and she says, Michael, I'm not buying a gift for your parents this year. I was like, what? She goes, I'm not buying a gift for your parents this year. In fact, here's what I'm doing. I am going to donate money to a Christian orphanage that we support. I'm going to donate it in their name, and in their card, I'm going to show the receipt that we gave a gift in their name to this Christian orphanage. I don't know, Tam. I don't know. She goes, that's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing. And so we had all of my family and all my sister and her family and my mom and my dad for this Christmas gathering, and she gave the gift, and when they opened up, they read it, and they read the receipt, and my mom and dad began to cry. And in the hustle and bustle of 6 grandkids and 4 adults and 2 grandparents and all the noise and paper and opening gifts, my mom and dad cried, and they mouthed across the hustle and bustle of the room to my wife, thank you. Thank you. Because there was something missional about our giving. It was something about someone else rather than about us. And maybe, just maybe, we need to change the rules of giving just a bit. Jesus said this in Luke 12. He said, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. And during this season, that seems to be it's said to be the season of giving, but it seems to be the season of getting, that let's really guard our hearts against thinking that it's about us getting gifts, when really it's about the birth of Christ. And so maybe we guard ourselves against greed, thinking that the possessions are what it's all about, when it's really not. maybe we can have missional gifts and careful in our spending when one of our family gifts is that we go to a shelter and we serve during the Christmas holidays. That we serve meals and we deliver blankets to shelters and to areas where the homeless and less fortunate are have to stay. And that's part of our missional giving for the holidays. Maybe as a family, we decide a charity that we're going to donate a portion of what we would have spent on gifts to that. But we're changing the game to where it's less about the gifts and more about the giver. And we're guarding our spending and it reclaims the joy and the peace of God in our lives as we don't stress over that aspect nearly as much. And also today, I want to challenge you with this. I want to challenge you to purposefully slow down and think about the gift of Jesus and what he was for our lives. You see, the habit of slowing down and thinking about the right things is a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that Jesus practiced and the disciples learned. In Luke 22, verse 14, it says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table." I mean, this is at one of the most pivotal moments in history in Christ's life, and he reclines with his disciples at the table. And so maybe tomorrow before you open gifts or tonight before you open gifts, that maybe you stop as a family and you open up Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2 and you read the Christmas story together and you thank God for the gift of his son, Jesus. Or maybe we open up Luke chapter 2 or maybe all of those chapters and we read them one at a time. In fact, I remember as a kid that my dad would read the gift, read the Christmas story to us before we opened gifts. And we opened gifts on Sunday evening, I mean on Christmas Eve evening. And so we would always have a dinner and then we would read the Christmas story together. And I always remember the anticipation and the buildup. And I always loved my dad's voice, his strong, booming voice. And it was just this really neat moment. And then I remembered as I got older, I thought, haven't we read this before, Ruth? Didn't we read this last year and the year before and the dozen years before that? And I just was like, oh, let's just get to the gifts. You know, you're in the high school years and you're too good for all that. And then I remembered as an adult coming out of young adult coming out of college, and I remembered we still read the story and we still pray and we still thank Jesus for his gift. I mean, what a great time that it always recalibrated us. And so maybe we make time for Jesus, and we read the story. But in the Christmas story, we see two key figures here, two groups or individuals that are very important. We see the innkeeper, and we see the shepherds. We see here the innkeeper, all we see of him is in Luke 2:7, and it says that because there was no room for them in the inn, they couldn't go. And it's not surprising that there wasn't any room, because in Bethlehem, they were coming back for the census. In Bethlehem was David's hometown, King David, legendary figure in their culture and in the Bible. And so everybody who was tied in with David, they wanted to go back and be registered into the clan of David. And so Bethlehem, a small town, small village, had a small hotel, probably not even separate rooms, probably one large room, an outhouse, and a place to cook. And everyone coming back, and it's packed out. So it's not surprising that there wasn't room for Mary and Joseph, because everyone had to return. In fact, this was the innkeeper's big opportunity for some serious money. So he probably packed out his inn, and he had even Joseph and Mary paying in the stable. And it goes on and says that we really have no reason to believe that the innkeeper was a bad guy. He's just busy. He had to keep peace among the guests, that he was taking, changing beds and keeping his customers happy and making change in various different currencies as they traveled from different locations, keeping peace among the guests. And probably since privacy was at a minimum, some of his guests probably snored. And how many of you know that's incredibly annoying? In fact, this week, my youngest daughter had a friend spend the night at our house, and they slept on the couch, and next to the L-shaped couch is the crate where my dog sleeps every night. And it's a boxer dog, so he's got that short snout, and he snores like a 50-year-old man. I mean, we're going to have to put a CPAP mask on him so that sucker doesn't snore. And so we wake up the next morning, we're fixing breakfast for the girls, and Jackie looks at me and goes, "Mr. Norman, your dog snores, and he snores loud." How many of you know that is incredibly annoying? And the innkeeper is not a bad guy. He's just busy with his customers. But the tragedy is this. When the most important birth in human history took place in his very backyard, the innkeeper missed it entirely. Not because he was a bad guy, but because he was just too busy. The shepherds, on the other hand, when the angels appeared to them, what did they do? They got up and they went to the baby Jesus, wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, and they worshiped him. You and I, we feel the busyness of the season, but let's not be too busy for Christmas, for Christ, and all that this means. Don't miss the purpose and the peace of Christmas by being too busy. What's the purpose of Christmas? It was God coming to earth in the form of a man, fully God, yet fully man. And God knew in his infinite wisdom that you and I would have hard hearts, that you and I would do some dumb stuff. How many of you in here, raise your hand, have ever done some dumb stuff? Some of you are fibbing like it's no tomorrow. But God in his wisdom knew that we would do sinful things. He knew that we would make mistakes. And in his wisdom, he sent Jesus. And the purpose of the birth of Christ was two reasons. One, for us to see the model of his life and to see how he lived and for us to have fellowship with him. But second of all, he was born so that he could die on the cross. So from the beginning of his life on earth, it was pointing directly to the end of his life on earth. And because he was born, he could die and bring forgiveness for you and me, because there had to be a price paid for our sins, for our dumb decisions, for our times that we've had hard hearts. You see, God created us for a relationship with him. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story of the Gospels, that we were created for fellowship with God. And he gave us free will. And in free will, that we chose to walk away and separate ourselves from God, and sin separates us from the Lord. And sin ultimately leads to death. And Jesus was born so that we could be forgiven. He was born in the beginning with the end in mind. Today, that's the purpose of Christmas. God showing us how to live, and then ultimately having the end result in mind as he came. Don't miss the purpose of Christmas. Peace in our time with God and God coming. So today, as we close this moment here, maybe today that you need peace with God by having forgiveness in your heart. And we're going to give you a chance in just a moment to say, "I put my faith in Jesus. I ask him to forgive me." And on the day in which we celebrate his birth, there will be new birth inside of you. Isn't that an incredible thought? That on the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christmas Eve or the day before we celebrate, that there can be new birth in us as we're saying, "I want peace with God by asking him to forgive me and for him to fill my life and fill my heart." Second of all, maybe today you're saying, "I've just been busy and life has been hectic, and I just need the peace of Christmas by slowing down in my heart and thanking God for who he is." Maybe that's you today. And we want to pray with you as well. So today, before we leave, would you stand with me all across the auditorium? And if you would, bow your heads, open up your hearts. Will you let me pray for just a moment before I ask you a few questions? Heads bowed and eyes closed, pray with me. Say, "Dear Jesus, speak to my heart. God, I pray that you would speak to every man and every woman and every child in the room today, and that, Lord, we would experience the peace of God on whom your favor rests. We would experience that peace as we come into relationship with you, and, Lord, that we kind of rearrange things, our schedule and busyness, so our focus is on you. Today, Lord, let us experience your peace. Father, you see the peace that's needed. And you gave a promise that at Christmas, God, that you said when Jesus came on peace on earth, on whom his favor rests, that we would just walk in that peace. There's some things we need to maybe do to reclaim it, but Lord, also we'd put our focus on you and embrace the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And together we said, amen. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.